Morning. Hope you're all doing okay out there. Yeah?
Good.
So, welcome. Here we are, 2022. Watched Back to the Future the other day. We still haven't got hoverboards. That was meant to be 2015. Anyway, I hope you had a good, restful, relaxing Christmas. I hope it was as much Christmas as, you know, the world allowed it to be in this current situation that we still find ourselves in. Hope you were able to see family and just feel in faith and hope and grace coming into this new year. Because we are still in an interesting time, aren't we? As I can't see any of your faces, partly because of the lights and partly because of your masks. We are still in an interesting time. But I'm sure like many of us, I started back at work on Tuesday. And again, I'm sure like many of us, one of the first things I did was begin to go through my email inbox. And in my email inbox was Jubilee News. Thanks, Faith. From last week or New Year's Eve or around then. And I don't know if you read it, some of you might have read this, but I found it really, really encouraging actually to read Faith's kind of summary of 2021. In there. And because 2021, I'm sure, when we all look back in, you know, ages to come, it will be remembered as one of the COVID years. It will be remembered for lockdowns and challenges and blah-de-blah-de-blah, and hasn't it been difficult? Yeah, it has, and still is. But actually, I found Faith's summary of last year in terms of Jubilee Church just really encouraging. So I'm going to read you some of what we did, what happened in the life of this church last year, because it was actually pretty cool. So we started, we were meeting online in January still, and we did that for a long, long time. And church at home is not really church, is it? It wasn't in my house anyway, in terms of what Jesus designed church to be. But actually, lots of people worked really, really hard to make church as much church as it could possibly be. And so I actually just want to say a quick thank you to four specific people who like learned loads of new skills and were enabled us to still be church. Now, lots of people work really, really hard, but these four particularly kind of went above and beyond. They are Stephen Jones, Pete Curran, Tim Gordon, and Josh Dean. Through the whole of lockdown, like just the man hours that they all put in and learning new skills. The PA team became very much a PA and IT team. There was like monitors everywhere in Henry Fry. And Josh Dean is just my absolute hero. If you ever come to church early, 9 times out of 10, Josh Dean will be there just quietly getting on with stuff. He is just always there serving. So thank you to those four particularly. So we did church online for a number of months at the beginning of the year. Then in the summer, we began to gather back together. We had some great picnics at Bubben Hall, which were all a lot of fun. And it was just so good to see people, wasn't it? Humans. It was so nice. And then in kind of September and October, we were here for a number of weeks. Hello, lovely. You're a human too. And so we gathered here and we had some great guest speakers and were kind of encouraged, re-encouraged in the gospel and in mission and in the grace of God together. And then in November, we started two sites. We launched the City site and the Stoke site. And we're very early days. We've only done 5 weeks of those sites plus a Christmas service. It seems longer, doesn't it? But we've only done 5 weeks and a Christmas service. But already in that time, it's been brilliant to see people taking initiative, taking responsibility, stepping up, taking steps of faith and making it happen. So it's been brilliant. So that's kind of actually what happened in the life of Jubilee Church in 2021, which I think is quite encouraging. So that's kind of church as a whole. And then when you get into like individuals and families and stuff, we had 4 weddings, 3 engagements, only two babies. Something's going wrong. But we had 2 foster babies welcomed in as well, part of the family. 1 couple became grandparents. We've welcomed in 10 new members last year. Several of our students graduated and starting new careers. Life went on, right? Even last year, life was happening, and because God is good and faithful, as we've been singing this morning. So I just thought, I found that really encouraging to come back to work. I wasn't really feeling coming back to work, to be honest, on Tuesday. I'm sure lots of us felt like that. But I read that, and I was like, oh, yeah, God's good. Come on, let's keep going. So it was good. And there's lots of other stories of answered prayers and just God meeting with us regularly, giving us strength and grace and life to persevere with him and follow him together. So I just thought that was encouraging. So I was going to preach, I am going to preach this morning on a passage that it's a verse particularly, it's in two places, it's in Matthew and it's in Luke. We're going to look at Luke today. But it's a passage that I've kept coming back to really over the last probably 2 years, probably all through COVID and everything that's going on at the moment. And so I'm going to read to you a bit from Luke chapter 21. It will come up on the screen behind me. Now, you may well have read Luke chapter 21, and when you've read it, lots of people will read it in terms of being a chapter that where Jesus is talking about the end times, quote unquote, you know. And so in my reading this, I don't want you to suddenly go, Paul thinks it's the end times. Jesus is going to rock up today. I really hope he does. I would flipping love that. But I'm not saying that, okay? In reading Luke 21, I'm not saying, we're in the end times, brothers and sisters, we need to start mapping world politics onto the Bible and blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm doing. But actually, because this, when you read the whole chapter of Luke 21, it's Jesus in the immediate is talking. It starts with some people looking at the temple in Jerusalem and going, hey, Jesus, look, the temple's really cool, isn't it? And Jesus says, well, actually, in not long from now, not one stone is going to stand on top of another. And he starts talking about the siege of Jerusalem that happened a few decades later in the late 60s. And the temple was then destroyed in 70 AD. So that's actually the context of what this chapter is about. And so I don't think it's really about the end times, if by that we mean when Jesus returns and all things go, you know, get put right. Yay, looking forward to that. Looking forward to full and complete justice. Is anyone else looking forward to that? Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not saying we're in the end times. We should, you know, look at what's going on in the world and think that Jesus is going to turn up tomorrow. But again, I hope he does. But this chapter is actually about, what it really is about is Jesus talking about massive, world-shaping, challenging events that happen. If you lived in Jerusalem in the late 60s AD, massive, world-shaping, challenging events that happen. And Jesus basically says to them, when massive, world-shaping, challenging events happen, there are two ways that we can respond. But he only wants us to respond in one of those ways. So that's what this passage is about. That's what we're going to read. So if you've got a Bible on your phone or in, you know, old school paper form, then if you want to turn to Luke chapter 21, I'm going to read from verse 25. It says this, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting. This is not like the verses that you're going to see on a poster with kittens, is it? But, you know, in the Bible, so true nonetheless. In fact, not just in the Bible, the words of our risen Lord Jesus. People fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. That verse tells us he was talking about Jerusalem and what did happen before that generation had passed away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But here we go, right? Here's the two ways that people can respond when these challenging, world-shaping events are going on. He says this, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, which means kind of overindulgence in all sorts of things, and drunkenness and cares of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. We're going to pause there for a minute. So Jesus is saying, look, when these difficult times are going on, there is a temptation to kind of just try and escape from them in some way. To just kind of, you know, you look at the news. I mean, does anyone still look at the news? Yeah, well, see, that's the problem. That's exactly it, Hannah. You're going to enjoy this sermon, all right? Because we get to a point, I've got to a point many times over the last 2 years where I'm like, oh, I can't even be bothered with it, man. I'm just going to, like, stay in my lane, get on with my life, not worry about what the world's doing out there, because it's all just a bit hard, isn't it? You go through the BBC News headlines, and just everywhere you look, it's hard. Energy prices are going up another 51% in April. Great, thanks for that. You're just getting over the last one, you know? What about the climate? What's all going on there? Who knows where it's going to be in 20 years' time? David Attenborough's not even going to be alive to tell us what to do. What are we going to do? You know, and then there's this little thing called COVID that keeps going on and on and on and on and affects our lives. Everywhere we look is kind of challenging, isn't it? And so there's a temptation for us to just disengage. Just go, oh, just it's all a bit hard. Instead, what I'll do is I'll watch Netflix. Because then I don't have to think about it. Okay, I'll just go on YouTube for just 5 minutes and just ignore everything that's going on in the world. Okay, and that's kind of what he's saying. It's like one way that we can respond when we see challenging world-shaping events going on around us is to just get a bit overwhelmed because of the cares of life and just begin to disengage and to disassociate, just to get a bit bored with it and to actually just give ourselves to distraction. Now, we all know that distraction is kind of like, it's a massive deal at the moment, isn't it? Distraction, no matter what else is going on in the world. But particularly when you look at the news, you're like, oh man, what's going on, what's going on? I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to like check out and just stay in my lane. I'm not even going to look at the news. But actually what that can begin to breed is disengaging, which permeates life. You begin to disengage in all areas of life a bit. It's just, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to, you know, stay in my lane. Or people end up going into despair and overindulge in all sorts of ways, which is what this passage says. And just escape. I'm just going to escape from it. I once in my life was an alcoholic. In this last 2 years, I don't drink at all anymore because I can't. In this last 2 years, it has been the closest I've come to drinking again because it's been really hard. There's been so much going on up here in my life that a learnt behaviour for me is just to escape it by having too much to drink. I haven't had a drink because Jesus is good. That's the only reason. But like, it's tempting. I don't know about you. Has anyone been tempted to check out, to just kind of get distracted, to just think about something else, to escape from it a little bit? How bummed was everyone when we couldn't go on holiday? Why? Because we want to escape. We just want to not think about it all at the moment. What Jesus is saying, when these world-shaping events are going on, this is a temptation. This is how it is tempting to respond. We can respond in that way. But Jesus says, no, I don't want you to respond in that way. Instead, verse 36, he says this, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's how Jesus wants his people to respond. Not in despair, not in distraction, not in escapism, but staying awake, staying alert. And I believe this is a time to stay awake and to stay alert. There is massive temptation to just lull ourselves into a nice little bubble of safety that doesn't really exist. No, now is the time, Jesus says, I believe, to stay awake. Are you awake? Are you awake? Are you paying attention? Not to, yes, what's going on in the world. I'm not saying all that, but to Jesus. To Jesus, are you awake? Are you alert to him? That's how we've got to respond, I believe, at the moment. I just think, without being doom and gloom, I know it's starting the year and blah, 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 it's got to be upbeat. Without being doom and gloom, I actually think that things are going to get harder. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that being a Christian is harder in the West now than it was 40, 50 years ago, 20 years ago even. And I think that is a trajectory that is only carrying on one way without revival. We want to pray for revival. But it's going to be hard. This is a year, and in these years, it's going to take courage for the people of God to stand for truth. So now is the time to be awake. Otherwise, that day is going to catch us unawares and we won't be ready. Oh, now I need to start praying because it's suddenly got hard. No, no. Right now. Now is the time to be awake, to be alert, to pay attention to Jesus and what he is doing. How do we do that then? How do we stay awake and stay alert? First of all, we prioritize the presence of God every day. Are you prioritizing his presence over Christmas? Did you prioritize his presence? Prioritize his presence. We did this series, didn't we? Prioritize his presence. Does anyone remember it? Was it too long ago? I preach, so I care about it. But like, when we do these series, it's not just to fill time. It's because we believe it's important. Okay, and so like, I would encourage you, listen back to some of that preaching series that we did last year. Because I think it's really important that we learn together as the people of God to prioritize his presence in our lives. Because if you don't, if you're not proactive about it, it will get squeezed out. It will get squeezed out in time and distraction, mental headspace, family, work, all of the rest of it. It will get squeezed out. We've got to make decisions now if we're going to stay awake and stay alert to prioritize his presence in our daily lives. Next, how do we stay awake? Put on the armor of God. Hello, Becca. Put on the armor of God. Yeah, you're going to have to take her. Ephesians chapter 6, I love it. It's so practical, isn't it? You know, how like it just goes through your whole self and it shows you that God has provided for your whole self. The helmet of salvation to protect your mind. The breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart. The belt of truth to hold it all together. The sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. The shoes of the readiness of the gospel, because this staying awake and staying alert is not only about you and me and our good. Pray through the armor of God. Let me encourage you this year, regularly, just sit for a few minutes and just think about it and pray it through. Lord, help me now. Put on the helmet of salvation. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord. Help me to think it in work. When I'm with my kids, help me to where my mind is at. Help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you that I am righteous in Christ. I'm not going to believe lies. I need this armor to protect me from the fiery darts of lies that are going to try and take away this truth. Pray through the armor of God. Pray it through in the mornings before you do anything else. Pray it through at lunchtime when you're at work. Pray it through whenever. Put on the armor of God. Next, how do we stay awake and stay awake and stay alert? Worship. Oh man, I love worship, don't you? Loved worshiping with you this morning. And our whole lives are worship. They are. And I want all of our lives to be worship. But I do actually mean like singing, making melody, making loud noises and praise to Jesus. Not just on a Sunday morning, and occasionally awkwardly in small group, and maybe twice a year at Powerhouse. You know, every day, like put on music that you can worship to. When you start the day, when you're in the shower, before you go to work, when you're in the car, worship. It is nothing, like apart from anything else, it really puts everything else in its proper perspective. When you see Jesus, when you see him, when you lift him up in your heart and your soul, everything else doesn't go away, but it gets put in its right place. If you wake up and you're ever anxious, worship. If you wake up and you're ever fearful, worship. If you need peace in your life, worship. And the Spirit comes and meets us there, ministers to us, reminds us of who Jesus is, who we are, how he is for us, how he's got all things in control. Worship the Lord this year. If you want to be awake, if you want to be alert, spend time regularly, raucously worshipping. If you don't feel like it, do it. And you'll soon feel like it, because that's what the Spirit does. Next, how do we stay awake and stay alert? Be committed to community. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter, I can't remember now, it says, Satan is like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. How do lions, what do? They don't go into the middle of the pack of zebras running along to take out the one in the middle. They take out the one at the edge. They take out the one that's isolated themselves. Okay? And that's why it uses that metaphor, I believe, at least in part. Be committed to community. Okay? Don't get distracted into isolation. Be committed to community. We are designed as Christians never to be lone rangers. We're part of a body, inseparable from each other and absolutely needing everyone to be the body. So be committed to community this year. Be committed to your small group. Your small group needs you and you need them. Be committed. Prioritize small group. Prioritize it in your week. If you've got busy things on, blah, 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 don't let small group be the thing that drops out first. Okay, be committed to community. Your small group needs you and you need them. We need you and you need us. That's how this deal works. Be committed, but make it a decision, because otherwise it drops away easily. Make it a decision at the beginning of the year. I'm going to be committed because I want to be awake to what Jesus is doing. How else next? We pray. That's what Jesus said. Be awake, pray, 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 pray and pray. Okay, we're starting a week of prayer today. Please prioritize prayer. Again, I said a minute ago, this is not just about you and me. Okay, us staying awake and staying alert to what Jesus is doing is not just so that we can, you know, one day go to heaven. It's for the sake of the world out there. It's for the sake of our neighbours and our friends who don't yet know life and hope in Jesus. We have such a privilege as the people of God to be called to stand in the gap and to pray, to intercede for a lost and broken world. Jesus said, you know, pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that Jesus comes and changes people's lives in the midst of the crazy world that we're living in. That is always his desire, isn't it? It's always his desire to draw people by his grace to his name. And he uses you and me to do so. He uses our prayers. Prayer is a mystery, I think. He doesn't, like, why does a sovereign Lord have to act through prayer? He doesn't have to, he chooses to. But he's chosen to act through our prayers. So we've got to give ourselves to prayer. So we're going to start tonight. Come along on Zoom and intercede for the sake of the world. We want to be witnesses to this world. So this year, what are we going to do? 2022, Jubilee Church. First thing we're going to do is we're going to stay awake and stay alert. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be nervous of what's going on in the world around us. But we are going to seek to stay awake and stay alert together to what Jesus is doing. What else are we going to do in 2022? We want to grow in maturity in Christ. To be honest, what is our vision? That is always our vision, to grow in maturity in Christ together. That's it. That's kind of all that, everything else comes into that. Grow in maturity in Christ. And we need to help one another to do so. All of those things, being committed to community, blah, blah, blah. All of that is so that we grow in maturity in Christ together. That's the aim, that's the vision, that's the goal, always. More practically then, what are we seeking to do this year? Well, early this year, one of the key things that we want to do and need to do is to establish a leadership team in the city site. Okay, and we're going to be working on that early in this year. So pray, seek God. That's what we want to do. And I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited for a leadership team to be established in the city site. Faith, vision, ready to take it forwards. Okay, so that's one of the things we're going to be doing early this year. And then towards the end of this year, we're going to be seeking God and praying for where the next site is going to be. So we're not finishing at two. We're going to do loads of sites. And so we need to seek God. Lord, where are you going to lead us? Do you want us? Who's going to be involved? That kind of thing. So that's some of the trajectory of this year. What else are we doing? Vision 2022. Some of it is quite simple. We're just going to be disciples every day. In the daily life, in your daily life, in my daily life, as we go to work, as we're with our family, as we're single, as we're married, as we're friends, as we're going shopping, we just want to be disciples. want to be those who live with integrity before Jesus. We want to be those who love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Just the simple everyday decisions. Being disciples, being a light, being witnesses, being a city on a hill, being watchmen who are called to stand in the gap and intercede for the world. I don't want that to sound too grandiose. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus called us to. Okay, that's our vision for this year. But all of this comes from standing before the Son of Man. That Son of Man, it's a term that's taken from Daniel chapter 7, of this one, like a Son of Man, this one, this human one, who will stand before the Ancient of Days and be given dominion and rule and kingdom forever and ever and ever. And his name is Jesus. And we get to stand before the risen Lord Jesus. We will one day in glory for all eternity. But already now, we stand before him. How do you want to stand before the risen Lord Jesus this year? We get to stand before him, the one who's full of grace and truth. And all of it comes, every little bit of it comes from knowing him, doesn't it? Walking with him, knowing his presence in our lives. I often refer to this as a passage elsewhere in the Gospels where Jesus is with a whole big crowd and he says something difficult to hear and most of the crowd go, "I'm not up for that, I'm off," and they all leave. And then Jesus turns to his 12 disciples and he says to them, "Are you going to go as well?" And I really like that. That must have been there for a genuine question facing a genuine temptation. The 12 disciples could have gone, "Yeah, I'm leaving as well. I'm not up for that. It's hard to follow you, Jesus." It is hard to follow Jesus sometimes, isn't it? Anyone else? Yeah? There's a lot going on in the church right now. There's a lot going on in the world. It's hard sometimes, but I love Peter's response to Jesus. Jesus says, "Look, are you going to go too?" And Peter kind of, you can imagine him like looking around going, "Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life." He's like, "Yeah, Jesus, it's hard to follow you sometimes. Yeah, sometimes, you know what, it's tempting to just check out. It's tempting to just live in distraction and not really think about the world. But actually, there's no life there. You have the words of life. I've discovered that you have the words of life. So hard as it may be sometimes, tempting as it may be sometimes to do something, I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. No matter what, I'm with you. I'm following you. You've changed my life. In you, I've found hope and life and grace and joy like I can't find anywhere else. You have the words of life. Where else are we going to go?" We've got to be connected to him. To stand before the Son of Man. He is our Emmanuel. He's with us. Isn't that good to know? He's always closer than we give him credit for. He is with us. He is our Lord. He has authority over our lives. When we give him our lives, we hand over our lives. "Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? I don't have final say anymore. What are you going to do with my life? I've just got to follow and be obedient." He's our Lord. He's our shepherd. He cares. He leads. He protects. He provides. He is our king. He is the king of kings. He is in charge of all things. All things are being made his footstool. All things are coming under his rule and reign. He is working for good in all things for the good of those who love him. In all things. Now, there's some big stuff going on at the moment in the world and in the church. In all things. He is working for the good of those who love him. And all things are being brought under him. He is the way, so let's follow him. He is the truth. In a world full of fake news that clearly has no idea what to believe, Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. Truth is not relative. That is an oxymoron. It makes no sense. There is one truth, and his name is Jesus. He is full of grace and truth. He is so kind, isn't he? He's just exudes grace and mercy and tenderness and love. And love Jesus. He's the truth and he is the life. And so our role, our vision, our job, our desire every day this year is to be connected to life. There's no life anywhere else outside of Jesus. Our privilege is now to get to be branches connected to the vine who brings life, But as we are branches connected to the vine who brings life, that life is not just for us, but we bear fruit. And what is that fruit? Well, that fruit is for the sustenance and joy of those who are not yet connected to the vine, but will be one day, we pray. So we want to be connected to the way, the truth, and the life. I wonder if the band could join me, please. And we could stand together. Can you stand together? Thanks. So, this year, what do we want to do? I do believe that this is a time to be alert and to be awake, to pray and to stand before the Son of Man. We get the privilege of doing that together, of helping each other to do that. But that is our heart and desire this year. So I'm just going to pray and then we're going to respond with a song of worship before we finish. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that you have chosen to share your life with us free of charge. All of life. You are the author of life and the source of life. And you've brought us to yourself. Lord, it is a bit of a crazy world right now, but that doesn't take you by surprise. You're in charge of all things. Lord, I pray for us that you would help us this year to be a people who stay awake and stay alert, where it can be tempting, where things get challenging to want to just check out, to despair, to be distracted, to isolate ourselves. Lord, we don't want to give in to those temptations. We want to be those who are awake and alert. We want to be those who are putting on the armor of God. We want to be those who are giving ourselves to community together and are giving ourselves together to pray, to intercede, to stand in the gap, to pull heaven down into this world, into our city, into our nation. We want to pray. We want to see the differences made by our prayers, Lord Jesus, to those around us. We want to see people come to faith this year, Lord Jesus. We want to be witnesses. We want to be a city on a hill. We want to shine light into darkness, Lord Jesus. We want to be with you. We want to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you for the highest privilege that we have as those in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us this year. Help us as Jubilee Church, help us in our individual lives, Lord Jesus, to stand before you, to be awake, to be alert, and to honor your name in our lives. Amen.